Thank you very much for inviting us to your very lively temple here in Melbourne. Nice to see many of you. Most of you have been to Mayapur, so I feel at home here. Hare Krishna. Thank you for attending. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, chapter 4, text number 19. This is Shati quits her body. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Na
Veda
Vadan
Anu
Anuvartate Mate Shwa Iva Loke Ramato Mahamuni Jata Vatir
Deva
Manushaya Pritak Shwa Iva Naharme
Na
Param
Shipet
Shitaha Novida
Vada
Anu Tate
Mati
Shwaiva Loki Ramato Mahamune Agati Deva Manushaya Pritaka Saiva Dhamana Param Shipet Stitaha
Na
Not
Veda
Badan Rules and Regulations of the Vedas Anuvartiti Follows Mati, the mind. Eva, in his, Shwe,
in his own.
Eva,
certainly.
Loke,
in the self.
Ramata,
enjoying.
Mahamuni,
of elevated transcendentalists.
Jata,
as.
Gati,
the way.
Deva Manu Vaya.
Of the men
and the demigods.
Pritak.
Separately.
Shwe.
In your own.
Ibo.
Alone.
Dharme.
Occupational duty.
Na.
Not.
Param.
Another. Shipet.
Should
criticize.
Shtita.
Being situated. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Sabai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. It is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them. Just as the demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth. Purport. Oh, please repeat.
It is better
to execute one's
own occupational duty
than to criticize others.
Elevated transcendentalists
may sometimes forego
the rules and regulations
of the Vedas,
since they do not need to follow them.
Just as the demigods
travel in space,
whereas ordinary men
travel on the surface of the earth. purple.
The behavior of the most elevated transcendentalists and that of the most fallen conditioned souls appears to be the same. The elevated transcendentalist can surpass all the regulations of the Vedas, just as the demigods, traveling in space, saw the jungles, and although the most dear Lord Shiva appears not to observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, he is not affected by such disobedience. But a common man who wants to imitate Lord Shiva is mistaken. A common man must observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas. Such a person who is in the transcendental platform does not need to observe. Daksha found his fault with Lord Shiva for not observing all the rules, strict rules and regulations of the Vedas. But Sati asserted that he had no need to observe such rules. It is said for one who is powerful, like the sun or the fire, there is no consideration of purity or impurity. The sunshine can sterilize an impure place, whereas if someone else were to pass such a place, he would be affected. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Rather, one should strictly follow one's prescribed occupational duties. One should never vilify a great personality like Lord Shiva. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakayo Chakshuran Militanjina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shri Vashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So, talking about great transcendentalists like Lord Shiva here or not, they're not obliged to follow the rules and regulations of the Vedas because they are transcendental to the Vedas. Nice try, Gun Babajun. Krishna says, you try to rise above these modes of material nature, Arjuna, because they're dealing with dharma in this material world. So don't become affected. But try to rise above all the Vedas. And when you do all that you have seen and heard, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when you rise above the modes of material nature, you'll become indifferent from all that's been seen and all that's been heard. You're on a different platform completely altogether, out of this material jurisdiction. So therefore you're not obliged to follow the rules and regulations of the jurisdiction, because you have your own rules and regulations. That's the rules and regulations in the spiritual world, which means spontaneous love, the spontaneous devotional service. That's the rule there, spontaneous loving service. So a person who's on that platform, he's transcended the lower modes of nature because he knows how to serve Krishna. He loves Krishna. He has affection for Krishna. He knows how to serve him. He doesn't have to be taught. The rules and regulations are for persons who don't know Krishna, who have forgotten Krishna, who don't know how to worship Krishna. Therefore, all these rules and regulations, do like this, do like this, and do like that, you'll never forget Krishna. But those who have attained their attraction for Krishna, then they're always remembering Krishna. So always remembering Krishna means spontaneous devotional service. Pancharajikavidhi vedi sadhana bhakti, that is never forgetting Krishna. So we perform, we wake up in the morning, take bath, make sure everything's clean, come to Mangalarti, see the deity. It's all Vedi Bhakti, Pancharachiki rules. Why? Because we've forgotten Krishna. So by following these rules, it helps us to never forget Krishna. We put Krishna, we install the deity, we serve the deity. This way we never forget Krishna. If we have developed our attraction for Krishna, then there's no need for any other process. Krishna, the object is in our heart with us always. In front of us, by our left side, by our right side, by our back side. He's everywhere. So it's not necessary to follow these particular rules of this material world. He's he's transcendent. He's above the in the purple. Prabhupada mentions how the demigods, they travel over the surface. They don't have the hindrance of rocks and rivers and rough ground and trees in it. They float over the top. Prabhupada was like that. Quite a few devotees noticed that he would kind of float around. Satyanarayan Prabhu, my beloved Guru, he said he was behind Prabhupada on the escalator going up. So Prabhupada was on a higher level and he was down a few steps. He could see. And he said Prabhupada wasn't actually on the escalator. He was above it. And when the escalator, you know, went into merged into the floor, Prabhupada didn't change at all. He just continued floating. So he had that ability. He can do it. Another time Bhavananda told this story that he was with Prabhupada at the airport, and you know they have those what are they called, like turnstiles, go through one at a time. It's kind of a glass thing. So Prabhupada was waiting to go through, then the person in front, he went through, and then he was playing with his kids, he's trying to get his kids together, and so it wasn't moving, the turnstile, and Prabhupada was like stuck in the middle. So Bhavananda said, I saw this. So I run around the other side to try and, you know, get that guy to move on quickly. So, and when I got there, Prabhupada was there, he said. He was stuck in the middle, and he didn't move. The thing didn't move around, but he was stuck in the middle. But when Bhavananda went the other side, he was already out of it. There's a famous video of Prabhupada, and the one interviewer is saying that, well, Swamiji, you know, you were just flying in on the 707, and you know, we thought that yogis and everything, they can, you know, they can fly on carpets and things like that, and so, you know, why you're taking advantage of the 707s? And Prabhupada said, because I want to be one of you. So this is the position of those pure devotees. They come into the material world to spread the message of Krishna. They're not obliged to do it, but they, by their choice, they can come. They come and go. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was walking, you know, that road, Bhaktisiddhanta Road, it goes through ISKCON, from Hulagat to ISKCON to the Jogpit, birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had that road built when Sir John Anderson came. We heard a story of John Anderson yesterday. Anyway, they built a road, a mud road, all the way up there. Anyway, he was doing a morning walk there with one of his disciples. Well, his disciple, Damodar Maharaj. He told us his story because he was our neighbor at that time in Mayapur. And he said, my Guru Maharaj was walking on that road, and then he stopped and he looked up and he said, how degraded this age of Kali Yuga. Even on Chandraloka, they are becoming so degraded. And then he just carried on walking. And then Damodar Maharaj said, then we understood, you know, what is the meaning of Jagat Guru? Prabhupada said he indicated that when he leaves this planet, he's going to go to Chandraloka to preach Krishna consciousness. I heard Prabhupada say in Mayapur, he was giving a lecture, and he said, so my Guru Maharaj, he came into this world with a mission to spread Krishna consciousness. And when it was time, he went to another place to do exactly the same thing, to spread Krishna consciousness. He said, this is Nitya Leela. This is called Nitya Leela. So those great souls are on this platform. They're transcendental to the modes of material nature. This is what it's saying. They should never be criticized. But ordinary people, they're obliged to follow the rules and regulations. Just like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he says in the Sakriya Saratipika, in the introduction, he says that he said one who has, he said nowhere in any scripture of the world does it say that one has to perform tarpon, he has to perform shraddha ceremonies for his family members, doing the pinda worship, doing worshipping pitral. Nowhere in any scripture of the world does it say one should perform these activities. For one who is initiated in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya with the holy names of Krishna, that person, nowhere in scripture said he can follow these things because he is a superior activity of devotional service. So here, but for common man, then they're obligated to follow these rules and regulations of the Vedas. I mean, the question often, the devotees often come up and say, you know, someone's just died, a relative or something like that. Should I, what about the Shraddha ceremony? Which there's so many days, you know, asuchi, where you're considered unclean. You know, what should we do in this situation? And I usually say, what? Which identity do you value most? Your identity as, you know, a son or daughter of Mr. and Mrs. such and such, or you value that identification of Nitya Krishna Das, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And the devotees, but they say, no, I value my identity as Krishna's servant more than my material identity of my mother and father, etc. So then it's okay, it's not necessary to do these rules and regulations. But if you identify yourself as belonging to a family, caste, creed, etc., then you're obligated to follow these rules and regulations. But one who's 7% engaged in devotion, it's not absolutely necessary for him to do these. Mahaprabhu, he went to Gaya to show, because he was a Brahmana, to set good example for others, how he observed these ceremonies for his father, the Shraddha ceremony. But that, because he was a Brahmana, he wanted to show by example. Actually, the real reason he went to Gaya was to meet his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. And then that was where Mahaprabhu took initiation. Yeah, Ishvara Puri. Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, it's not that we're callous. We love our parents when they're alive and we serve them. And then when they leave their body, then we offer them Mahaprasad. We take Radha Bala Mahaprasad or Jagannath Mahaprasadam. And we offer them Mahaprasad. But we don't go through all the rituals of worshipping the pitras, worshipping all the forefathers, worshipping all the demigods and all that. 33 crores of devatas, you have to worship all of those in the Shraddha ceremony. If you miss one, the whole thing becomes nullified. I don't know how they do that. They must be in groups or something. he says they serve their parents with love when they're alive, and then when they offer the Mahaprasad afterwards. Prabhupada said, you can have a condolence meeting and you glorify the devotees' seva that they performed, and then after that you can have kirtan and Mahaprasad distribution. And then you put a plate on the end of the line. This is for the deceased person. The idea is that that person is doing seva. He's serving all the other devotees when they're sitting down eating. Then after he's served everyone, then he takes that plate. Then Prabhupada says you can put that plate outside for the lower animals. So it's quite a simple process. But it didn't involve any demigods or pitri puja or anything like that. So... Yeah, so it's how you identify yourself, which you value most, and you should you're obligated to follow this. Sri Damodar Maharaj, he asked Prabhupada when his father died, should I go to Gaya and do the... And Prabhupada said, no, for you, not necessary to me. But anyway, in the Arun Shasti, you've got this festival coming up soon. Jagannath will be offered winter clothing because it gets cold. Here with the other side of the world, I guess. I don't know. You offer the Arun Shasti festival? Where's the pujaris? No? Okay. It's a cold festival. You're offering. Jagannath wears a thick cloth for that, I think a cloth, starch cloth. So in that Leela of Pundarik is criticizing, how come the pujaris are giving Jagannath this starch clothing? It's considered impure. Starch cloth means if you touch it, you should wash your hands. And they're offering it to Jagannath, this starch cloth. It hasn't been washed. So Sri Damodar said, that's okay. It's okay for Jagannath. If there was any problem, Jagannath would have said something to the king. Yeah, but why? Jagannath's okay, he's wearing stiff cloth, but why the others wear starch cloth? I think that king, he wears a starched thing in his head, a starch little fan in his head. They all become Brahman because they're servants of Jagannath. They're all equal to Jagannath. So, like that, they were jokingly. There was some criticism there. But anyway, that, and then in the... that night in the land of dreams, Lord Mahaprabhu came in the form of Lord Jagannath and started to slap Pundarik again and again and again. Long time. And Balaram also. And they had big rings on fingers. His face became red. You could see the ring marks also for a long time. Give him crying for mercy. Mercy, please, mercy, baby. He's merciful to me, Jagannath. So he said, you come here, you're criticizing. I introduced this system to King Indradumna, and now you say it's not right. Here you say we're not following the Vedic culture. And you go back to your own country where they follow your culture. You don't have to stay here. And then Jagannath said that just because the injunctions are there in the Vedas, it doesn't mean you have to follow each and every one. Yeah. Sometimes, like in puja, we get... there's a book, the Pancharatrika Pradipa. And it's divided into simple worship, home worship, the standard temple, and then elaborate worship and all that. So in the elaborate worship, it doesn't mean you have to do, it's in the book, it says you should do like this. Though we have to do like this, you know, otherwise it's offense to the deity, Saiva Raparad, we're not following all the rules and regulations. No, it's not exactly like that. Just because the injunction is there, it doesn't mean that you have to follow every single injunction. So... I remember when that book was being made by Atma Tattva Prabhu, we were researching Bhanu Swami Krishna Ketra. So they sent me a copy. It wasn't a final one, this is just a copy, so you can see what we're doing here. And you can go over it. And then I had it, so the one devotee came from South America and he said, look, I heard you got the copy of the new book that's going to come out. And so can you give me a copy? I said, no, because it hasn't been edited. We may not use half the stuff. We just gathered everything and put it there. It's got to be sorted out. No, I just want to have a look at it. I said, okay. He kept on and on. I said, okay, don't show it to anyone else. Don't tell anyone else. But you can read it. So, anyway, he read it and then he thought, well, so much stuff here, but no. I start introducing everything. He wanted to do everything. So he started doing everything. And you know, when you enter the deity room, there are the dwarpalas, the people in guards of the doors, and like, Jai Vijay and all people like that. Lakshmi's there, and then you have to step over the, what do you call it? In between the door. What's it called?
Threshold,
yeah, you've got to step over the threshold, left foot, touching the right door frame, the left foot with your left hand, things like that. Anyway, getting confused just talking about it. And so he did all this, he started doing all this ritual and worshipping all the door pujas, all of it. And then his wife came in and she stepped right in the middle of the doorstep, threshold, and stepped right into the deity room. And he was... What have you done? You know, it's halfway through the puja, and you trod right in the middle of there, and I don't know what to do. If I go in now, you know, the thunderbolts might start flying around. So I'm staying outside. I've got to do my puja. Jayapataka Maharaj told me, don't say, you don't tell everybody to do all these things. Yeah, so anyway, deity worship should be kept more simple. Prabhupada told me one time, he said, you have some experience. We worship in Shalagram Shila. Mayapur was the first temple to worship Shalagram Shila. Prabhupada says he wants it instituted in all of ISKCON temples where you have sufficient facility. So he said, you should start in Mayapur, you should start the worship of Shalagram. And so we started the worship there. And we sent one Shalagram here. Is it Trivikram? Trivikram? Yeah, he was from Mayapur. And Bhavananda said they're going to start in worship in Melbourne, yeah? So he took that one from Mayapur. He's still there. Three balls. I used to worship it. Anyway, Prabhupada called me. He said that they want to start worshipping Shalagram Shila in New York. So you write some notes, but keep it simple. And he was talking, and then he said, but keep it simple. Three times he mentioned, keep it simple. So we don't want to get too elaborate in the... that we've become, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you keep Lakshmi Ayan also at a little bit of a distance, because that ritualistic fear will keep you from Vrindavan's deer. So if we get too hung up on the, too much rules, then it won't be soft enough to approach Krishna. The heart won't become softer. Or it become too scary to worship Krishna without the rules. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come actually to give spontaneous devotional service. That's his Mahapadanaya. Why is Mahapadanaya? Krishna Prema Padayati Krishna Krishna Chaitanya. Here it is, he is giving. With the chanting of the holy name. Take it, he's giving freely. Just take. If you cannot take it, it's second best. You take second best. But it's Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. The first Mahaprabhu was giving pure, unalloyed devotional service. You are. Take it. Spontaneous service. If you can take it. If you're not orthodox, if you follow sincerely. Sincerity has already been done. Rupa Goswami. So many instructions are there. That sincerity, that has to come from us. So execute it sincerely. Then you'll get the fruit of the result. And the speed is determined by your sincerity. Haridas Thakur says, two people, they approach bona fide spiritual master, they're initiated into the holy name, is a bona fide sampradaya. One is a muchi, one is a suchi, one is a kobla, the other one is a brahmana. So who reaches the goal first? No, the suchi, he has less obstruction, he has less obstructions. It means the muchi is more in tamagun, rajagun, the suchi is in more goodness, so he has less obstructions. But Haridasa Thakur says, no, it's not dependent on that. He said it's dependent on sincerity. One who is more sincere in executing the process, he achieves the fruits of devotional service first. So we just have to be sincere in executing the orders of Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. So anyway, we're talking about Lord Shiva here. He's been insulted by Daksha. So that's the problem. One should never insult or, such a devotee as Lord Shiva. He's even a guna avatar also. Such a powerful personality. And he's a great devotee of Krishna. When we do the Navadip Dham Mahatmya, first everybody goes to see Khetrapur. You go to the Jogpit, third place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Behind the the birthplace there is Khetrapur. Gopeshwar Mahadev is there. Lord Shiva is there. Temple is there. And so we take permission from him first. That please let us perform the Navadip Dham Parikram. You're the guardian of the Dham. Ketra Pol. Pol means guard, policeman. You are Ketra Pol, along with Prodamaya. Prodamaya is Yogamaya. So they keep the Dham clean there. They like to, reveal the Dham, or they cover the Dham. For the devotees, they reveal the coton of Mahamaya is lifted and Yogamaya is there. And for the non-devotees, then the curtain of Mahamaya is there. Mahamaya is there for the non-devotees. So that he has so much service. As Gopeshwar, he guards the Rasleela arena for Radha and Krishna. Ketchupal, Lord Shiva has many forms in Navadvip, many leelas. His Hamsa Bahan deity you have seen. Lord Shiva was, they were, the sages were chanting Gaura Bhagavad. He wanted to go and hear it quickly, so he was on Nandi. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Nandi the bull. Bulls are pretty slow, so he's not getting very far here. So he sits to Lord Brahma, please give me your swan. I really go, swan is a bird of the air. So quickly, and there's a deity of Lord Shiva. He's laying back on the swan like this. He's going down to hear Gaura Bhagavat. There's another Hari Hara form of Lord Shiva. Half Krishna, half Shiva. Half white, half black. Very nice deity there. In Mahabanarasi. Anyway, Mahabanarasi is there. Mahagaya is there also. It says that anybody leaves their body there, then Lord Shiva, he comes up and shouts in their ear, Gauranga! Gauranga! Someone said we should just build a hospice there. Have a hospice at the devotees when they leave their body. They can remember. Lord Shiva comes and helps them remember. So he has many forms there. Nila Lohita Mahadev. And Lord Shiva, you know, is the incarnation of, I'm sorry, Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya, he's the incarnation of Lord Shiva. He was ordered by Krishna to go and preach a philosophy similar to Buddhism, but so he's preaching Mayavada philosophy. Buddhists say there is no God. Mayavadis say there is a God, but you cannot see him, you cannot touch him, you cannot feel him. Prabhupada said at least the Buddhists are honest. So he was. He came to Navadvipa when he was touring India, conquering it, everyone with his Mayavada philosophy and driving Buddhism out of India. He came to Navadvipa. But Gauranga appeared in his dream and said, "This is not your place for you. This is a place for my bhaktas here. So not necessary for you to come here. You can go another place. On my behalf, Pita Shiva and Prodamaya, they are here. They deceive all the Mayavadis and the Tantrics and things like that. So Lord Shiva, he writes all the Tantric Shastras. And so there's all kinds of magic and mystic and all kinds of good things you can get if you want to be an enjoyer. So Lord Shiva is presenting all these tantrics, all the Shaivites, all the Shaktas, they read the tantras. And they say, "What is this? These devotees or Haribol, what is this? We're getting all, you know, all cities and powers and things like that." So they just leave the devotees alone because they think, you know, we're getting all the good stuff. Let them hurry ball, hurry ball. So in this way, Lord Shiva deceives them. He deceives everyone. And with Prodamaya there, they deceive them by giving all these allurements in the Tantriki Shastras. In the Joy of Adama also, the disciples, they approach the I can't remember the name, but like the anyway, they approach their guru and they say, "Guru Dev, you can, but what is the Vaishnava's position in regards to Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya?" And their guru says, "Sripad Shankaracharya, we give our Ashtanga Dandavat Pranam at his feet." "What? What? My Guru Maharaj, he's a big Mayavadi, he's spreading Mayavadi." He said, no. He said, "See, Buddha, he come and spread his philosophy. And he's an incarnate, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. Who could defeat him? No one can defeat him. Only a Vaishnava could defeat him. So therefore Krishna asks, Mahadev, the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Jata Shambhu, you go and you preach a philosophy, something like Mayavada, but bringing them back to Veda, Brahman. So he said, Lord Shiva, he was the only one who could do it. If he hadn't have done it, even today, we would have been fighting Buddhism. Buddhism is atheism. There is no God. So we'd be stuck with that. It would be very difficult to defeat. But because Shankaracharya, the incarnation of Lord Shiva, is very powerful. He could do it. So he did. He actually drove Buddhism out of India and established his philosophy of Mayavada philosophy. The evil fruit of India. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So many good things come from India. But he said, they were Mayavadi, the evil fruit of India. Anyway, when the churning of the ocean was taking place with the Mandara Mountain, and then first of all the poison came out, everybody was, the fumes and everything was choking everyone. What's going to happen? They've got a whole ocean of poison here. We're going to become... So they called Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And he drank all of the poison. And he kept it in his throat. That's why he's called Nilakanta. He went blue colour. So he kept it in his throat. So So Lord Shiva, he said, what am I going to do with this? This heavy stuff here in my throat. So he went to Shvetadvip to see Anantadeva. Anantadeva is residing in Shvetadvip. And Anantadeva, he gave him the Ananta Samhita. Now the Ananta Samhita is nothing but glorification of Navadvip Dham, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva. So Anantadeva gave him the Samhita. So he said, now when I keep that Samhita in my throat, it counteracted all that poison. So all that poison has become, this is the potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, how powerful it is. It counteracts even an ocean. We never experience an ocean of poison, but the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can counteract an ocean of poison by keeping the names of Gauranga and Mayapur. Nityananda, keep him there. They have to contract all the bad qualities. And so everything was destroyed. And then Lord Shiva said, now I feel purified. I feel I'm free from my great sin of spreading that Mayavad philosophy. So even Shiva thought it was a great sinful act. It's a devotee named Ramaraj. I think he built that temple in South Africa. Very cool, very unusual temple. And he asked Prabhupada that he said, before I was a devotee, I got an elephant god with the belly, Ganesh. I had this elephant god, Prabhupada, and I didn't know what he was, but I knew he was a god, so I was doing a little bit of what puja to him. He said, okay, can I continue to worship? Now I've become devotee and initiated. Can I worship Ganesh? And Prabhupada said, I could tell you so many things about the demigods. He said, especially Lord Shiva. He said, but because I condemn demigod worship on practically every page of my books, I can't say anything now, even about Lord Shiva. Yeah. Prabhupada said, on every page of my book, I put practically Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So nobody will ever try to twist my words. In the future, no one will ever twist my words. Krishna. So in my part, the lotus building, that was the first building that was built. But that's considered in Rudradvip. It's nine islands of Navadvip. That first portion of land Prabhupada that got there for 3 acres of land. So that's in Rudradvip, according to the land settlement maps. And Prabhupada was on the end of the building. He told Jai Prakash Maharaj, we're right on the border. The other side is where Panchatattva is now. That's Antadvipa, the central island, Maitri Mayapada. And the lotus building is in Rudradvip. So the Ganga comes and makes these different borders. Jayaprakamara said, Panchatattva may be in the Ganga, because the Ganga is flowing. And Radha Madhava there in Rudradvip. So it's named after Lord Shiva. the island of Rudu. And so he's the Vaishnava Jatashram, he's the greatest man. This island is known for its, you know, each island has a, represents one of the different angas of bhakti, the nine angas of bhakti. So it represents friendship. Rudradeep is the island of friendship. Mayapur is the island of self-surrender. And each island, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, they have one of these aspects. So that island where Prabhupada first got his first piece of land there was in Rudradeep, the island of friendship. So in the Navadeep Bhavataranga, book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making the prikram and everything is being revealed to him that's there. There will be different features of the island and the different personalities that are there. He's, he goes to Nrisimhapalli, he sees Lord Nrisimha there begging mercy. This is his whole mood as he's begging mercy from all the Dhanbashis, all the inhabitants of the Dhan, showing us how we should perform our prikram. And Lord Shiva puts his feet on his head. Be fearless, my child. You stay here in Navadvip and chant the holy names and worship Radha and Krishna. Very soon, by the mercy of my devotees, you will attain your perfection. So Lord Nrisimhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have said, okay, by my blessings. But he didn't. He said, by the mercy of my devotees, very soon you will achieve your perfection. So then, so we see then the last person that Bhaktivinoda Thakur meets, so one of the last persons, is Lord Shiva there, when he's in the Rudradeep. And he says, I'm there, I see one. There's one Shiva Lingam there, and one goddess is there. So when she notices me, I say, you know, goddess, who are you? And she says, listen to me, my child. My name is Sayujya. I have sisters, Salimpya, Sarupya. That is the five kinds of liberation. And all of my sisters, they've all run off and left me. I used to get some attention from some sages, Dattatreya and others. But now they've all become Gauranga Bhaktas, and everybody's run off and they left me. Nobody gives me any more attention because I am Sayuja Mukti, I am Nirvana, impersonal. So I'm looking for that, looking for them, I can't find them. So I won't go to that place and give up my life. That place will be known as Nirdaya, no mercy. This is my... Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, simply hearing that name, Sayuja, he's shaking in fear. Just like when the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they hear the name Bhutana, which coming to kill Krishna, they're scared, you know. So like that, simply hearing this name, Sayuja Mukti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm shivering and I fall down on the ground. Then someone comes and waking me, he's shaking me. Wake up, wake up. I look up and see this astonishing figure of Lord Shiva, Mahadev. He's dancing, judging. Boom, boom, jai Gauranga, boom, boom, jai Sachinandan, boom, boom. He has a cry, boom, boom. Jai Sachinandan, give mercy to all living entities, jai Sachinandan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur falls on his feet and says, you know, please be merciful to me, Mahadev. So then Lord Shiva says, by my mercy, Maya will retreat. How else will Maya retreat? Who can order Maya around? Only her husband. So Lord Shiva is the husband of Maya. So I will order Maya to retreat. You leave him alone, he's my devotee, so I can tell my wife, Maya Devi, leave my devotees alone, leave them alone. They've become devotees now, Gauranga Bhaktis. So she has to obey my order. So this is a friend, the real friend, can tell your Maya to clear off. So then Lord Shiva says, you go that side, Pulinda, that is none different than Vrindavan on the western bank of the Ganga, the other side there. That is where Sri Krishna Chandra performs his Ras dance. Go there, you will see everything. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes there. And then he actually sees this astonishing dance, Sri Krishna Chandra, and billions of gopis performing their past circular Rasa Leela on the banks of the... Actually, in Mayapur, where the Ganga is coming, on the eastern bank, that is the Ganga, on the western bank, that is Jamuna. Ganga and Jamuna flow together through there. So the other bank of the Ganga opposite Mayapur, ISKCON, that is the place of Rasa Leela. And so the Jamuna is flowing there. Where Krishna has Rasa Leela in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Jamuna. So same thing in Mayapur, on the other bank. So he sees this astonishing sight and he faints on the floor. Then he wakes up and then he says, you know, it's a wondrous personality. Oh, it's me. And he's changed into a... he said, me, Kamala Manjari. He's changed his form into a young girl, the young Manjari. Then by his side is Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is his guru. Ananga Manjari is Janabi Devi, Nityananda's eternal consort. So you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Navadvipa Mahatmya, at the end of every chapter he describes, he praises the patience to my gurus, Janabi and Nityananda, they're my eternal gurus. They ordered me to write this book, Navadvipa Mahatmya, otherwise we would be lost. So he's saying, you know, how Nityananda and Janabi are his gurus, and of course he appeared 500 years later, 400 years later, but he's saying they are my gurus. So Ananga Manjari is the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu. For Nityananda Prabhu to relish Madhuja Rasa, then he expands his potency, Ananga Manjari. And therefore he's allowed in there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur becomes Kamala Manjari, and he sees his guru by his side. Ananga Manjari. Then she explains, gives her identity, and what the color of clothing, what service she will do. So it's all given by a guru. And Bhakti Tru Maharaj once asked Prabhupada, you know, about Siddha Pranali getting his spiritual body. And Prabhupada said, so when you're ready, I will come and tell you everything. So that's what happened. And Ananga Manjari, she starts telling who she is and explains the dharms, takes her and shows her the different places in the dharm. And then she takes her to meet Rupa Manjari. She said, we are Rupa Anugas, we are followers of Rupa Goswami. Means we want to imbibe that sentiment that Rupa Manjari has. She's an intimate servant of Lalita and Vishakha and Radha and Krishna. So she knows very well the sentiment of how to approach the devotional attitude. We have to get that from her. You don't get it from anyone else because it's her potency. Because our Vaishnava is very, very personal. It's not just me and Krishna and my devotion to Krishna. You have to go through these personal, and you have to personally get from that, that they have to infuse you with that potency. So she takes it to meet Rupa Manjari. He's a great Gauranga Bhakta, a great Gauranga Bhakta. He wants to come and serve you. So then she, please impart that mood of bhakti that you have, that you can approach, you know what pleases Radha and Krishna. So she infuses her with that potent shakti. And then it's not finished yet. Okay, take her to meet Lalita and Vishakha. So still more instructions there. Give her a place near where she can stay near you. You can do this saver or bring in camphor or something like that. So that's how personal this movement is, isn't it? We have to personally meet all these personalities.
before, and ultimately they will be introduced to Radha and Krishna. So this is all by the mercy of Lord Shiva. He removed all of the maya and everything was revealed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it's the island of friendship. So what a greater friend than one who can introduce you to Krishna. Vaishnava Chataha Shambhu Mahadev Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srimad Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanam. Thank you very much. Any comment or question? Hare Krishna. I didn't quite get it. Was that? That mic. This one.
Someone wanted to join Jesus Christ. He just wanted to join him, but someone in his family just died. And he was wondering whether he should join Jesus or first do the ritual's funeral. And Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. And that means they are not spiritually awake. And the others, because he has a higher duty now, because he wanted to join him, you know, to and basically to be alive. And those who are not interested in spiritual life could perform that funeral. So I thought that
yeah, very nice. That summarized the whole chapter. Thank you very much. Or the verse, at least. Okay. Hi, Bob Prabhu.
How is Sankaranya's philosophy different to the Buddhist philosophy? I mean, how is it that he was able to?
How does he?
How is he able to chase the Buddhist philosophy out of India? I mean, it's both in personalism, isn't it?
Yeah. So Buddha, the Lord Buddha, he invented to stop the cow killing. Mostly in animal killing, sacrificial. And so the people said, why we should stop? Here, look, it says in the Vedas, we can kill animals. It's our religion. So why you are telling us to stop? So Buddha said, okay then, forget the religion. Forget your Vedas and follow me. So he tricked them. They became his followers. So he said there is nothing. Everything is zero. Taipitaka Maharaj gave me an example, like your eye. You get a picture in your eye, and then it turns upside down on the back of your lens or something. It reflects up the other way on the screen, but we adjust it. We somehow or another. So he said, well. When the eye is in this position, to that point there, where is the eye open or on the back?
What is that point?
Focus.
Yeah, what is that point? So like that, nothing. So he was preaching that. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Prabhupada said, I slap your face. So anyway, Shankaracharya said, no, there is something. Look, it says in the Vedas, it's called Brahman. But you cannot see it, you cannot touch it, you cannot feel it. But it's there, you see. And it's, so in this way he tricked them to come back to the Veda. But he kept the animal killing out. So then they became... he tricked them. God with. Can't remember. Anyway, like that, he tricked them back to, brought them back to the Veda. That was his mission. And simultaneously, they're not killing any animals. So bring them back. Then. So, first Buddha took them away from the Veda, Shankaracharya brought them back from the Veda, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated and taught the true meaning of the Veda, the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. He taught the real essence and the real meaning of the Veda is bhakti. So, personalism. Yeah, so Mahaprabhu went. So it's like instrumental in the part of the Lord's plan that Lord Shiva, Kama Shankaracharya, defeat the Buddhist philosophy. Buddha was his own incarnation for. spreading Ahimsa philosophy. Yeah, then Mahaprabhu came and gave the essence of the religion. Pure bhakti. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gopi Manandi. Thank you very much.